Morning, Elevate. And a special welcome to our first-time guests. This weekend, while Pastor and Bethany are having some much-needed away time, Pastor asked that if I would step in and present the second of our series on Unshakables. And it's a joy to be here. Felt God's presence yesterday morning in the prayer time. And Cody and the worship team leading us into God's presence. I mentioned earlier that first service that I was going to lip sync to save my voice. And the first service I sang all the time. This time I did manage to try to lip sync a little, because I know by the time I get to third service, it's going to be worked. Pastor wanted me to express a word of appreciation. Tuesday night, we had probably 60 people at Parkview North. Kevin Salisbury was in the hospital, and his room was filled with people praying. The waiting room, at two different times, there was a circle of prayer being lifted up for Kevin. And Pastor just wanted me to express appreciation for the family of Elevate in being there and supporting Stacy and the rest of the family. Kevin did pass away and is with the Lord Thursday night, and his visitation is Monday from 3 to 7 at the Height Funeral Home in Kendallville, and Tuesday morning at 11, Pastor is going to be leading in a celebration of Kevin's life. The funeral service then is Tuesday at 11, also at the Height Funeral Home in Kendallville. So continue to remember the family in prayer. Kevin had come to know the Lord, was baptized last fall, was involved in a couple of small groups and served on the Dream Team. So he was a very important presence and impact here at Elevate. And he's only 37 years old. And I know some of us are hurting this morning. But God is here, a God of comfort, to strengthen us, encourage us, and remind us of the eternal hope that we have in Jesus Christ. So let's get into the message this morning, the second part of our Unshakable series. The key verse that Pastor shared with us last week comes from Luke's account of the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 6, the reading from the Message version. "Why are you so polite with me, always saying, 'Yes, sir,' and 'That's right, sir,' but never doing a thing I tell you? These words I speak to you are not mere additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundation words, words to build a life on. If you work the words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who dug deep and laid the foundation of his house on bedrock. When the river burst its banks and crashed against the house, nothing could shake it. It was built to last. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you are like a dumb carpenter who built a house but skipped the foundation. And when the swollen river came crashing in, it collapsed like a house of cards. It was a total loss." You know, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount challenges us to build our life on Him, to put our faith and trust in Him, to walk with Him throughout our life, and allow Him to change us in our character, our capacity to love, our willingness to walk in the path of God's Word and truth, to find His blessing in our lives. He wants us to be unshakable. This morning, we're going to be looking at a biographical sketch of Joseph in the Old Testament. I'd encourage you to read his story again. It begins in Genesis chapter 37 and finishes up the rest of the book. Joseph was one of Jacob's younger sons, making him the great-grandson of Abraham, who was the father of the nation of Israel. Joseph would play a pivotal role in Israel's history, as he played a detrimental role in his family's survival. Joseph had a dream. God had spoken to him. But we see in the life of Joseph that his life went in a direction he didn't think it would, and his world had gotten shaken up. Joseph went from being the favorite son of Jacob, being a privileged son, to being thrown in the pit of slavery by his jealous brothers. But God used that path to bring him eventually to the palace of Egypt. God's message this morning, of course, is for all of us, but it's especially for those who might feel that your life isn't going as you thought it had planned it. Or maybe even that your life isn't going as you thought God had planned it. Somewhere along the line, a wrong turn, maybe even a dead end, you're tempted to check out. You know, I've been there more than once. There were times in my life that I didn't handle things as well as Joseph. Pastor Kyle, when he asked me to preach this message this morning, encouraged me to share my testimony, and I'll do that this morning throughout the message. That maybe someone here can learn not only from the positive message of Joseph, but can learn from some of my mistakes. When life gets shaken and it isn't turning out the way you had planned, God encourages us this morning, don't give up on your dreams. Joseph was 17 years old. He called the family together to tell them something. God had given him a dream. It revealed that God would put him in a place of authority, even over his brothers and his father. In Genesis chapter 37, we see that Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. And he said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." Later on, at an opportune time, his brothers would say, "Here comes that dreamer," they said to each other. "Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams." His brothers threw him into the cistern. Most of them wanted to kill him, but one brother stood up for him and at least, "Let's sell him into slavery." And so they took his coat of many colors and spread it with blood and gave it to father Jacob to give a sign that Joseph was dead. But Joseph was sold into slavery. You know, sometimes when we are given dreams, God-given dreams, there oftentimes is opposition. And when things get shaky, God says this morning, don't give up on your dream. Even if you didn't start out well. You know, many of us, we look in the rearview mirror too often. The accuser of the brethren, Satan, he reminds us of all of our faults and our failures and our mistakes of our past. You know, I came to know the Lord at the age of 16, first time that I heard the gospel. My brother and I went forward on a Sunday evening service and gave our heart to the Lord and got baptized that night, and they gave us the Bible. And having not been raised in the church and raised in a Christian family, the first years of my Christian life were shaky. I got the privilege, of course, to marry Nanette, a beautiful gal that had grown up in a Christian home. And we got involved in our home church, and we taught Sunday school and different things of ministry. And God gave us a dream. He wanted us to move to Alaska to help a former pastor of ours with a church in Anchorage. And so Nanette and I answered that dream and call, and we drove 3,000 miles in February of 78 through Canada and up to Anchorage. And we lived in Anchorage for 4 years, and we taught Sunday school, worked with the youth. I was church treasurer. The last year that we were there, Nanette was the director of the church daycare for $300 a week, and I assumed an assistant pastor's job role for $300 a month. And following that year, the church that we were under, the denomination that we were under, wanted to plant a church in Saldotna, south of Anchorage, and one in Fairbanks. And we felt God's leading and the dream to plant a church. And so we moved to Fairbanks, which is about 150 miles, if I remember correctly, south of the Arctic Circle. And we had snow from the end of September till the 1st of May. And Nanette never liked those long winters. But and the coldest I ever saw was an actual 52 below, and that's not wind chill. But so we were in Fairbanks, and it was the arrangement was to be bivocational. So 6 days a week, I'd get up and I'd early in the morning and go to do the janitorial at Shakey's Pizza Restaurant, and then I'd make the dough for the pizza and for the cinnamon rolls for the lunch buffet, and then I'd have the rest of my day. And so we attempted to pioneer a church. And in those days, you know, people didn't consider you too weird if you went door to door. So we did that, and we were able to meet people and saw some people won to the Lord, and we did mailings. And so we pioneered that church for about 2.5 years and only saw about up to 35 people at the most at any one time. And both our decision and in conjunction with the church or the denomination, we closed that work after 2.5 years. And so my dream was shattered. And I said I would never pastor again. And I meant it. You know, the Bible is full of people with horrible resumes. Paul had a horrible resume. He was a Pharisee, a Jew, and in the early years of the church, he was instrumental in persecuting the church and having Christians arrested so that they could be tried in their Jewish court and executed. But then Paul had an encounter with Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. Jesus showed himself in his glorified state in a vision, and Paul's life was never the same. He was Saul, he became Paul the Apostle. You know, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul later writes to Timothy and he says, I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who has given me strength and has that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. God would say to you this morning that regardless of your yesterdays, God still has a dream for you. God still has a blessing for you. Regardless of your yesterdays, God wants not only to bless you, but to bless through you and touch others. It's one of the things I appreciate about Elevate. Our dream is to be a church that believes in people. Our dream is a church that we would allow God with the love and, or that we would allow people with the love and help of God to change their history, to take a new path, to write a new chapter. And that's the spirit of this message today. You know, God does not necessarily always call the qualified, but he does qualify those he called. So even if your dream doesn't start off so well, don't give up. Another thing that we would learn here from Joseph this morning is that when things are shaky, don't give up on your dream, even if those closest don't support it. Maybe even your family or your friends don't understand this thing about the Christian faith. They don't support it. Joseph's family didn't understand about his dream. His brothers were envious, and they hated him for the dream that he had. You know, Jesus found himself in a similar situation. He was questioned by his family. His family in Mark 3, it says, were wanting to take charge of him. And they said, quote unquote, he is out of his mind. In John chapter 7, we see Jesus' brothers egging him on. Why don't you show yourself publicly at the feast in Jerusalem? But they didn't believe in him. Jesus wasn't even accepted in his own hometown. In Mark chapter 6, we see their response. Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. Jesus could do very few miracles that day in his hometown of Nazareth because they didn't believe in him. In fact, even in a parallel passage in Luke chapter 4, the townsfolk took Jesus to the edge of a cliff. We're going to throw him off. But in the power and the protection of the Holy Spirit, the crowd parted and Jesus walked away safely. So don't give up on your dream. Even if those closest to you do not support it or even oppose it. Thirdly, when things are shaky, don't give up on your dream, even if your journey is full of surprises. You know, when God gives us a dream, it almost never goes from A to B to C. There's some Z's thrown in there, the zigs and the zags, the ups and the downs. I'm sure Joseph was thinking, this is going to be cool. I'm going to be an authority. God's going to give me a place of service. But it wasn't seem to turn out the way he thought. You know, our dreams sometimes that God gives us have critical intersections. Sometimes we're faced with a dilemma. Are we going to give up? Or are we going to go on? Joseph, in the flow of his life, misunderstood by his family, is he going to give up? Sold into slavery by his brothers, is he going to give up? Living in a strange land far from home, is he going to give up? I'm sure he was tempted to. When he was given favor in Potiphar's house, things were looking up. He would go on. But then falsely accused by Potiphar's wife of sexual assault, tempted to give up. Thrown into prison, am I going to give up? Put in charge of all the prisoners, okay, this is the right path. Forgotten by the chief cupbearer when Joseph interprets his dreams and the cupbearer gets back in favor of Pharaoh, am I going to go on? But then he becomes second in command when he interprets Pharaoh's dreams. Second in command to Pharaoh only. You know, Joseph, when you look at his life like this, he had twice as many give-ups as he had go-ons. And the truth in your life and mine is sometimes it looks the same way. But God would challenge us. What will you do in your give-up moment? After Fairbanks saying, I'd never be a pastor again, we moved back to Indiana. We're home here in New Haven. And we started attending our local church there again and teaching Sunday school and helping out where we could. And I found myself during a weekend of special services on a Sunday night at an altar of prayer. And God was telling me that his dream for me was not over, that he wanted me to pastor again. It was about a year later that I got a phone call. And a previous pastor friend of ours was leaving his church, and he was kind of bypassing the district superintendent. But he called, and the church wanted us to consider going there. So we went up and candidated and said we would. Those were six wonderful years in Wisconsin. We pastored a country church in Dairy Farm area. It was a church that had a heritage and history of 112 years. And they had a building just as old. They were an easy people to love, and they loved us. And it was a joy to be a general contractor and work with the architect and with the different subcontractors. And we were able to tear down the old church and build a whole brand new facility for them. And at the end of that 6 years, God said, I want you to resign. And we didn't know where he wanted us to go, but we obeyed. And what opened up in God's plan and with the district involvement was we moved to Janesville. Now, Janesville in Wisconsin had a Wesleyan church that at one point was 300 people. They had the bus ministry back in the early 80s and everything. And but they had a pastor who succumbed to sexual temptation, And that same pastor had some financial shenanigans, and so he was kicked out. And with each successive pastorate, the church kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And so by the time we got there, it was only a church of 35. And we went in there with a dream of that God could use us to turn it around. And we were there for 5 years. And I'd have to admit, at the end of the fourth year, I was ready to go. And I only stayed the last year because I wanted Jason, our son, to graduate from high school. So after that five-year stint in Janesville, I quit my dream. I quit God's dream for me. I said I would never pastor again. You know, Paul has a word of encouragement this morning for those who feel that they failed, that they tossed aside the dream. In Romans chapter 8, it says, "We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." All things, that means the good things that happen and the bad things that happen. Don't give up on your dream. Even when life throws you some hardships and surprises along the way. Again, when things get shaky and you're tempted to give up on your dream, don't. Even if it takes a long time to realize it. Clearly, Joseph's dream was fulfilled, God's plan and purpose for his life. But it took a while to happen. Now, Joseph, of course, first got his dream from God when he was 17 years old. And he was sold into slavery. For 11 years, he served in Potiphar's house. And when he was falsely accused of sexual assault by Potiphar's wife, he was thrown unjustly into prison for 2 years. As providence would have it, Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dream concerning 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And so Joseph was 30 years old when he assumed the second in command under Pharaoh. And so after 7 years of surplus, it makes him about 37 years old when Joseph's father and brothers came to Egypt Joseph's brothers came to Egypt looking for food. And in the process of that story, he was reunited with his family. So it took him from 17 years old to 37 to see what God was planning, what God had in mind. It took all those years for the full measure of God's blessings to be accomplished in Joseph's life. In Habakkuk, the prophet writes, "These things I plan won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, do not despair, for these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not be overdue a single day." You know, oftentimes it's said that we men link our self-esteem to our jobs. When God gave me the dream and the call to be a pastor, and when the situations arose that I did not respond to appropriately, for I linked my dream and call to my faith, and when the dream died, my faith faltered. I had a lot of disappointment, turned to regret, regret turned to resentment, resentment turned to bitterness, bitterness became self-loathing. Self-loathing became rebellion, and I had a hardened heart that lasted for more years than I'd like to admit. Joseph was a better man than me. He's a man of faith and a man of faithfulness. He's a man of commitment and he's a man of conviction. So why was the duration of time for Joseph so long to get see the dream fulfilled? It's mostly circumstantial. The flow of God's providence and history, bringing to the point, you know, with the famine, the surplus, and bringing his family to a place of safety. For me, my journey was long because it was of my own making. And as uncomfortable as it may have been, what God was interested in developing my character. You know, God is interested in developing our character more than taking care of our comfort. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10, he writes, "The Lord searches our hearts and examines our deepest motives, so he can give to each person his right reward according to how he lived." God wants to develop the character of our hearts. Joseph has some words of encouragement for us this morning. He challenges us to focus on what happens in you, not to you. You know, this is a spiritual principle that could save a lot of heartache and can save a lot of mileage. We often tend to focus on what's happening to us rather than what's happening in us. You know, when we look at it, we have a role in how fast things happen in our lives, depending on how fast we learn the lessons. You know, when we face the struggles and challenges and situations in our life, oftentimes it's the wrong thing to pray and say, "God, make this go away." Rather, what we should be praying is, "God, what do you want me to learn through all of this?" Peter writes in his first epistle, and he says, "Be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though it is necessary for you to endure many trials for a while. These trials are only to test your faith, to show that it is strong and pure. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. And your faith is far more precious to God than mere gold. So if your faith remains strong after being tried by fiery trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world." You know, you and I cannot control what happens around us, but we do have a say-so about what happens in us, that we be responsive to God's working and dealing in our lives, that we be humble, that we be teachable, that we be pliable and moldable in his hands. Another word of encouragement from Joseph this morning is a reminder that our response to offense determines our future. You know, Joseph had a chance to get back at his brothers. He could have held a grudge. He could have been unforgiving. As his family comes to Egypt in this time of famine for food, because of the duration of time not being 17, but now probably being at least 37, Joseph, of course, recognizes them, but they don't recognize him as a young man. He could have been unforgiving. He could have held a grudge. He could have got back at them. You know, we are tempted sometimes the same way. Sometimes people live their whole life with unforgiveness. Sometimes people live their whole life with that grudge that turns into bitterness. You know, Joseph's brothers, when Joseph revealed himself, they said, "Don't kill us." But look at Joseph's response in Genesis chapter 50. "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good." God intended it for good. We're reminded this morning that in our lives, in those times of challenge, we need to walk out forgiveness in our life. Maybe it's to forgive others. Maybe it's to forgive ourselves. Don't allow resentment to eat at you, to destroy you on the inside. You know, Job in chapter 21, the words are written, some men stay happy until the day they die. Others have no happiness at all. They live and die with bitter hearts. When I was walking in my bitter heart, God didn't leave me there. It was on my 54th birthday. We were attending Grace Point Nazarene Church there off of 469. They had a guest pastor that day. He was preaching from a wheelchair, suffering from ALS. And he spoke about Peter. Now, Peter, of course, had denied Jesus three times on the night that Jesus was betrayed, arrested, and falsely tried. And Peter found forgiveness and restoration in the love of Jesus Christ. And that morning, God healed my heart. He removed the burden and the weight that I had carried for way too long. And he set me on a renewed path and a dream that brings me to who I am and where I am today. Every dream may have tough times, but remember that God is always with you. He's there. Maybe because of the condition of your heart, you don't feel it, but he's there. You know, when we're at our lowest point in life, when we're down to nothing, that's when God is most up to something. In Matthew chapter 28, of course, Jesus says, I am with you always to the very end of the age. You know, Joseph's dream came to pass. He was used by God to rescue and preserve his family. 70 of his family would take refuge in Egypt. 430 years later, 600,000 men, plus women and children, left Egypt with Moses. David and Solomon would be kings of the great nation of Israel. Israel would go through its time of captivity and restoration. But 2,000 years ago, Jesus, the Christ and Messiah, was born. The Son of God became man and is our Savior and Redeemer. Joseph played a part in God's dream for the salvation of the world. And God's dream this morning for me is being lived out. I know I belong to him. I know he loves me with an unfailing love and a generous grace. I know that he has me where he wants me to be. Privileged to serve under one of Fort Wayne's finest pastors. I know he has me where he wants me to be, contributing in small ways to a church that has an amazing dream and future ahead of it. And I thank Jesus this morning. That dream God gives you, or that dream that God wants to give you, his word for you today is don't give up. It hasn't started well, don't give up. It's taken longer than you thought, don't give up. You've been thrown some curves and surprises. Don't give up. You feel unsupported? Don't give up. God is the giver and fulfiller of dreams. He wants to walk beside you. He wants to work within you. And he wants to achieve through you. I'd like you to bow your heads right now at this time. You know what God's first dream for you is? Is to have that personal relationship with him in Jesus Christ, his son. So some of you today might be where I was, spiritually restless, gotten off the path, distanced yourself in your relationship with Jesus. But you know what? Today can be your day of restoration and renewal. Some of you this morning might be hearing for the first time and sensing that tug of God's unfailing love for you, of his generous grace that is reaching out to embrace you. Some of you might be hearing for the first time of his dream for you to have a personal relationship and a fulfilling life in Jesus Christ. This morning, I'm going to ask you in just a moment to raise your hand. If you need to renew your commitment to Jesus Christ and renew that relationship with him, I want you to raise your hand. If for the first time in your life you want to make a commitment to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and receive his eternal life in you, I want you to raise your hand. And we're going to have a prayer of salvation that we're all going to pray together. And this might be your day to feel the embrace of God's love, either renewed or for the first time. So at the count of three, I'd like you to raise your hand. We're not going to embarrass you, but we just want to be able to pray for you. So on one, two, three, how many of you need to make a commitment to Jesus Christ this morning? Thank you. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see those hands. Thank you very much. God be praised. With heads bowed, let's all pray together. And maybe you didn't raise your hand, you didn't feel comfortable, but you can pray this prayer. Jesus, forgive me for all my sins. I give my life to you. Make me brand new. I believe you died for me so that I can live. Fill me with your spirit that I may know you and serve you with all my life. My life is not my own. I give it to you. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand this morning for his love and grace and mercy.